Derek, you know, I don't like to go dad mode on this podcast too often.
Yes, you do.
Okay, you're right. I do. Pretty damn disappointed in you.
The hell did I do?
And the entire Section 328 crew.
Because we planned a trip for you to go to Ireland?
No. No, because I had to go out of town for work.
Mm.
And the last two trips I've had to go out of town for work, two trips ago, you went and let Ron Francis get fired formally.
Mm-hmm.
And in this last trip, you made it such that the Carolina Hurricanes announced their coach while burying the lead for hiring a new general manager.
And this
what have you kids done? I leave town for a minute and I was like, hey, watch the team. Make sure they don't do anything crazy. Make sure they don't do any stupid. And what do? You turn your back on them for a minute and boom. In like the ninth paragraph, it says, oh, by the way, Don Waddell's our general manager. Yes, sir. The guy who's holding his hand up on the audio. Wait a second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did that for a reason. Mike.
Things are coming, people. Yes, sir.
You've known both me and the rest of the 328 crew to be a vocal crew for quite a while. Is that correct?
That is correct. Of most of you. Some of you are less vocal than others.
Okay. Do the Canes have a good track record of following the things that we are vocal about?
No.
So how the hell is it my fault?
Because I told you to take care of it and you didn't take care of it. I
took care of it? You said, hey, Derek, soon as you can, let's get a new coach and general manager. You didn't specify where they had to come from.
No, no.
Or how they'd be announced. You just said get it done. And Mike, I got it done. Are you not entertained?
I personally was very entertained. I was just, I love Mike Sondheim, and I just wanted to shake that press release. Like, I wanted to print out that press release on paper and physically shake it. And then I wanted to buy it a baby t-shirt from like one of those bad, awful online t-shirt sites that says they shake me and put it inside of a t-shirt and then shake it some more and then give it to like a New York attorney and like have him yell at it and have him yell racist things at it.
Why?
Because it was just awful. It was awful. You don't bury, not in my country, not in this country, Derek, do you bury the general manager hiring in the fourth paragraph of a release.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, especially because all the talk was part of the reason Ron Francis had to, you know, go to a front office upstate, you know, a nice farm where he can run a hockey team to all his delight. Part of that reason was because the new general manager would have a say in the new coach. And the way we learn about the new general manager is, like you said, multiple paragraphs down in the press release of the new coach, which seemed kind of ass backwards, but so part of me goes, okay, I wonder, was the team's hand forced a little bit when Elliot Friedman spilled the beans that Rod Brindamore was going to be named coach later in the week, and then local media gave Adam Gold credit for breaking the news, but I don't know. It seemed like the rollout wasn't great.
Well, and again, we've stumbled on things before, and we're focusing on the actual stumbling blocks of what something.
It's what we do.
You're right. So I look at it, you know, the other side of me, the glass half full guy, and that's a nice half full glass of beer you got there, Derek. Where'd you get that beer?
Got it at Bottle Mix.
Bottle Mix, they are good. I think they wanted to put all of the focus on the new head coach.
Sure.
And less of the focus on the general manager position. Because
which one's going to be better received?
Well, obviously the coach. But the other piece of that is it's not just a general manager. Don Waddell is the last piece of general manager Voltron. So they are now coming together. And
drop the bass.
Jesus. Sorry. Things are weird. Things are
dubstep.
things might get a little bit weird.
The Carolina Hurricanes send Jake Bean and the general manager's shoulder missile to Edmonton for pool party in a second.
Okay. Yes. All day. Yes. And as they throw in the remaining 2 years of DJ Mr. Ills contract,
drop the bass. Wow, Mike.
I just We're all over the place tonight, Derek. Fortunately, we've got a very good interview tonight. Mike Smith was able to join us a little bit earlier. We'll have Smitty on to talk to us a little bit about what they've got planned in terms of coverage this summer. We went through some fun cheat mail questions with Mike, some that may have made him a little bit more uncomfortable than others. But that's what happens when you get cheat mail questions from guys that are at @Mike_Maniscalco.
I'm pretty sure that's not his Twitter handle, as he does not respect the underscore. We need to have a talk with him about that.
Michael.Maniscalco something. I don't know.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, I think it's going to be a fun episode tonight.
Shit, here's hoping.
But we've got R. Wad and R. Dud to talk about there. That's Don Waddell and Rick Dudley. We got to talk a little bit about what Bobby Margarita. Mm-hmm. You may know him as Bob McKenzie.
The Dark Canuck.
We've got a little bit to talk about with what he's talking about with some of the rumors that are floating around out there about the Canes offseason. And we got to share with the folks exactly what's coming up leading up to the draft. We are now, I think, right at 35 days or so until the Carolina Hurricanes make the second selection in the 2018 National Hockey League entry draft. We think we know who the Carolina Hurricanes are going to select, but we're not going to do that. We're going to have a draft preview special next week, and we're going to make our picks.
All right.
Everyone is going to be waiting around with bated breath for that.
Yeah.
But until then, again, big changes coming to the podcast. Maybe not this episode, but in a future episode, maybe you get to watch Derek and I do this.
I don't know why you'd want to, but you may have that option.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks you guys for listening. And Derek, could you do me a favor?
Yeah.
While you're taking a sip of that beer, hit that damn X button. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this yet another edition of Cheaters Never Win. My name's Mike.
My name is Derek.
And tonight's podcast is brought to you by two sponsors. Tonight's podcast brought to you by the good folks over at Bottle Mix. They sell beer.
Beer.
Also brought to you by Dawn. Over at Fathom Realty, you're going to hear from Dawn a little bit later. Brand new sponsor to the podcast. We are super excited to have her. Let her buy and sell your house and make you money. We do not buy and sell houses.
We do not.
We have good and bad takes. Some hot, some lukewarm. We have guests. And somehow we're still a part of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. But thank you guys for listening. We do appreciate it. We'll have a new intro, you know, sometime in the fall, once we can afford the exorbitant voice fees of the voice of PNC Arena. That is one Mr. Wade Minter. So, Derek, welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mike. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we've teased this a little bit, but things might be a little bit off tonight. We have two cameras. Brand new cameras here in the studio. We are going to start trying to stream the podcast over on Twitch and then be able to make the podcast available as a post-production stream. Yes, sir. The man who has his hand up on what is soon to be a future edition of a non-audio-only podcast.
Are we dancing for tips?
Tips and tips alone. Ladies and gentlemen, next up on the stage, tall and lanky, he's Cinnamon.
It's like, please, the go-to name is Cinnamon.
I mean, I look at you and I think tall, lanky, kind of tubular, kind of want to grind you up in a machine some days. Cinnamon.
Oh boy, why did I go down that road?
Hey, what did you have on your what did you have on your French toast this morning? I had a little Derek.
Nope. No. I'm even less comfortable with that, Mike.
See, if we had actually put this one out, this is just kind of one of those ones where we're just kind of doing a dry run.
Right,
so
but
we're only going to keep this for us.
But that's the case for the Twitch stream. Everyone listening to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or Spotify or wherever fine podcasts are listened to.
Right.
Still hears this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is still an actual podcast.
Take two.
No, we're in too deep now, Mike.
Son of a...
This is what the people are here for.
I know. All right, Derek.
Yeah, man.
What was your initial reaction when Rod Brind'Amour was named the new head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes? Gut reaction.
Gut reaction was, I think it's good. It feels like a convenience hire.
I hear you. And I think...
I like the move. I don't like the look, if that makes sense.
It makes complete sense.
Because I feel like he can be a good coach. I feel like, you know, as he said at his press conference, he and Bill could not be more different as coaches or people. But it just, for all the things of Tom Dundon going to shake things up and do things so differently, he hires a coach that was already in the building. Maybe Rod Brendamore was the best coach they talked to. And let's say they talked to 10,000 coaches. Maybe they talked to 10, and he was the best of any of them. Not saying he wasn't, but from an outsider's perspective who doesn't know how the process worked, it just kind of looks like, well, I've gotten to know you. You seem impressive. You seem ready. Let's give it a shot.
I agree and disagree a little bit. Okay. I think I agree with you that there is a very good chance that Rod Brendamore was absolutely the best interview they had. I'm sure they interviewed multiple coaches. I'm sure that they interviewed some college coaches. I would not be surprised if they had even interviewed some European coaches. That said, I think Rod Brendamore is absolutely, you know, qualified to be the next coach of this team. And I think what may the less convenience and more Rod understands what's wrong with this club, having been here for so long and kind of understanding, having understood that. And the question is what's wrong with the club talent? Is what's wrong with the club style? Is what's wrong with the club motivation? And I was a little bit confused. And, you know, I was like you. I was kind of two hearts. I was like, I want to support Rod, but this feels a little bit too easy. And we've been through so many ringers with everything in the public presence and what Canadian media has said. But the other part of me has said, it's Rod frickin' Brendamore, right? He is that dude. He is the greatest player in Carolina Hurricanes history.
We have the list to prove it.
We do. Section 328.com, all-time greatest Canes list. He is currently ranked number one. Number one, I'm holding up the one finger for those of you who can see it. Again, next week, hopefully everybody's going to be able to see it. So I'm absolutely 100% supportive of what Rod Brendamore has going, but I think my opinion has actually changed over the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
As I've heard more and more interviews, and while this potentially could be pandering and lip service, some of the people within the organization, whether it be current players, former players, current broadcasters, and some of the comments that have been made about the team, the locker room, and what the feeling was around this organization with Bill Peters as the head coach, makes me believe that while you and I were on the Bill Peters bandwagon maybe longer than some, I get the feeling you and I were on that bandwagon longer than anybody inside the building was.
When you said current broadcasters, you were getting to John Forslund?
Yes, John Forslund's comments in the last week,
Basically
saying that the locker room was dead and just couldn't take anymore by three quarters of the way through the season is what I heard.
Yeah, that's not good at all. The other thing I wanted to get back to is when you talked about Rod Brendamore's qualifications. If you told me that the Canes had hired another assistant coach who had 7 years of NHL assistant coaching experience, you go, okay, this guy is probably ready for the job. But, I think it's much more good than bad. I'm excited about it. I'm glad it's done. I like that, while there is the aspect of what do you do with a franchise legend when it's time to make that uncomfortable split. And I like that Rod kind of addressed that head on. He said by saying, like, look, I know how this ends. I'm just trying to add enough good chapters in the middle so that the end isn't too rough. But, like, coaches get fired. That's what happens. So, look, I think it'll be good. I'm ready to – I'm just ready for actual hockey and not all this nonsense about how much Tom Dundon's willing to pay somebody and who's turned it down or who are we looking at or how many pieces does Voltron truly require to operate. I'm just ready to talk about some on-ice product instead of some off-ice shenanigans.
Yeah, it's well, you talk
and we
about
have months to go.
You talk about off-ice shenanigans, and before we get to the Mike Smith interview, I think I want to talk about what's been the biggest off-ice shenanigan of the last week, and that has been the rumor mill that is everyone on the Carolina Hurricanes not currently named Sebastian Aho is available for trade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we go back to the Don Waddell school of broadcasting and general managering, he has said multiple times, you know, back when he was with the Thrashers, everybody on this team except Ilya Kovalchuk and Marian Hossa are up for trade. Ron Howard voice.
They were also up for trade.
They were also traded. But I think you have to, as you're trying to dig your way out of a 9-year playoffless streak, if you are the organization in the National Hockey League that has the longest playoff-less streak, you have to do some things differently. And while we absolutely have some amazing pieces and parts of the puzzle here, you have to be willing to listen to offers that may make you better. For example, at some point, David Poile took a call from Mark Bergevin that said, I'd like Shea Weber. You know, you and I, I was an unabashed Shea Weber lover for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And you would say, there's no way David Poile is ever accepting a call on Shea Weber. Well, he accepted a call on Shea Weber. He traded Shea Weber, and it made his team better.
I mean, it all goes back to that kind of lazy sports radio caller kind of mindset of, well, hell, the Oilers traded Gretzky way back when, so anybody's for trade. But I do think there is some merit to that in that, okay, look, I think if the Canes were presented with the right offer, they'd trade Aho. It's just a matter of, is there the right offer, and is somebody going to overpay for something?
Right. I mean, if the Edmonton Oilers called up and said, we'd like to trade you Connor McDavid for Sebastian Aho and Noah Hanifin.
Done. Right.
Immediately.
So everybody's
done.
Up for trade. And I don't think there's anything wrong in saying that, look, pretty much everyone's out there. Make us an offer. There's no harm in listening to offers.
No. Just like we're currently listening to offers for the second pick.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening to offers. If you were to offer us a package of, I don't know, Erik Karlsson and Matt Duchene and Mike Hoffman. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'd consider giving you that second pick.
Let's say you list a car on Craigslist. You say, this car is $4,000 or best offer. And someone comes and their first offer is, we'll give you $5,000. You go, well, thanks, you idiot. I will take that $5,000 and I will see you later. So if somebody wants to overpay, take him up on it. Otherwise, stick with the assets that you have. But going back a little more specifically to what Bob McKenzie was talking about, and he went into a little bit more detail on today's episode of the Bobcast, because somebody wrote in with a question about who does he think the Canes may shop around. He said the names that he said he would be least surprised to see move, you know, the numbers add up to 80.
Yep.
You're looking at one, and the other one is known to smile a wee bit.
This guy right here?
Yep.
For those of you who are going to see this podcast in the future, I'm actually holding up the autographed Section 328 Fauquia, kind of lithograph that we have here, which I'm going to be sad that we have to replace this next season.
Yeah.
But Justin Falk, not here next year, right?
I think he and Skinner are 1A and 1B on the least surprised if/when I hear they're traded. The Falk is going to upset me less than when I hear Skinner's traded, because I feel like Falk is going to command a decent return. Bob McKenzie went into it a little bit that because Skinner, A, has 1 year left before he hits unrestricted free agency, and B, has a full no movement clause, because Skinner kind of holds those cards, there are fewer teams in play, and thus the price doesn't need to be as high. So I'm going to be really curious to see what the return on Jeff Skinner is. I am bracing myself for the fact that he's going to be traded, and I hate what I'm going to have to tell my wife that Jeff Skinner was traded, because he is her favorite player.
And as we look at it, as a player that has a no movement clause, who gets to define where he's going, and it is, again, you can hear from different spots spots out there that maybe or maybe not he wants to be here long term. I think the team would be a little crazy to not at least attempt to try to re-sign him this summer to see if he would re-sign for a reasonable amount, given his statistical impact and what he's brought to this team. But also, if he doesn't have his heart in Raleigh, which I don't know if Jeff does, I look around and I look around at guys and I say, okay, who's invested in the community? The guy's been here 7 years now, I think. 8 years? It's been 7, 8 years.
Well, he also just started shaving like 8 weeks ago.
Doesn't matter. If you've been here 8 years, there's not Jeff Skinner, as far as I know, doesn't have a massive charitable endeavor here in town. He doesn't have a massive mansion in North Raleigh. He's not married. He doesn't have kids here locally. It's just... I don't know if Jeff's involved enough in the community to say, do I really want to try to invest another 5, 6, 7 years here? Or do I want to go to a team that is on an upswing, currently has winning, that I could make a dramatic impact to? And I think that's why everyone's linking him to the Los Angeles Kings. I don't foresee us trading him in the Metropolitan Division. God, I hope not.
No, because you know wherever he goes, he's potting 35 this coming season.
Right. I hope he goes to Nashville. You know, give me something amazing out of Nashville. But
what do you want out of Nashville then?
I don't know.
Nothing big, just like a Roman Yossi.
Yeah, a Yossi. Yeah. No, I mean it's got to be for a forward. There's some young talent out there, but again, it's going to be something that is going to be limited. I look at the Eric Staal trade as a bit of a barometer. You know, second line or second round draft pick.
What was the Eric Staal return? It was like 2 seconds and
2 seconds.
Alexi Sorella.
So, I mean, and that was at the trade deadline. He's a center, so he commands a little bit more. But Jeff Skinner, again, is a guy who could pop 35 goals. If we haven't re-signed him by the trade deadline, even if you're in a playoff position, you may have to consider the future, which would be tough. I mean, Jeff Skinner has been the one bright spot, really, just from a league-wide perspective, aside from Sebastian Aho, in the last 9 years. So he's been that guy. You know, I remember 2011 All-Star game here in Raleigh, him and PK are switching jerseys. He's one of the youngest guys ever to make an All-Star game. And, he's had a bit of a rough go between injuries and different coaches and not being able to get line mates who are worth diddly squat. You know, what would happen with him if he were out there and got a chance to play with a whole bunch of good line mates?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But we'll kind of figure it out, Derek, as we go along. We've got the draft to look forward to, and then we've free agency. Speaking of free agency, it was kind of interesting. For those of you who may not have gone to the blog today, section328.com, Mr. Workrate, our own Tom, wrote a great little article on here's what the Canes could...
No. He wrote a great article. There was nothing little about this article. It was a Mr. Work Rate work.
It was. The work rate was very...
It was high.
High.
It was an Iron Man match, if you will.
It was to kind of say, okay, here's what the lineup could look like with no changes. And it's a crowded lineup. There has to be some moves made. I mean, you have to assume, you know, as he did, and I think correctly, that we're going to re-sign Lindholm. You're not going to see guys like Stempniak and Ryan and probably Nordstrom back here. But, you know, you've got Martinuk, you've got Zikov, you've got guys like Nechas who are fighting their way up the ranks, who are going to join this crew. But we've got to get better. We've got to get deeper down the middle. You know, you and I have heard all of the rumors that, you know, potentially Ryan O'Reilly is one of those guys that the Carolina Hurricanes are looking at. And how do you slot in Ryan O'Reilly and Jordan Staal on the same team? Well, I mean, you slot them in as second and third line centers right behind John Tavares is how I would do it.
Jesus.
Okay, let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
First line center, John Tavares. Aho, Teravainen on the wing. Second line center, Jordan Staal. Justin Williams and
Svechnikov
on the other. Third line center, Ryan O'Reilly with Zikov and Nachos on his wings, and then a fourth line of Rask, Martinuk, and McGinn.
Mm-hmm.
That feels right.
Yeah.
By feels right, I mean, I'm glad. Wait, we are video now.
The,
so.
But the video's aimed
it's,
up
it's
high.
It's waist high.
It's high.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
No.
I would
you
be.
You would?
I would be.
You would? I think I'd roll that out with some
confidence. Actually, and you know, so, and here's the crazy thing, Derek. I forgot Elias Lindholm in that.
Yeah, you did.
So maybe that third line is Ryan O'Reilly, Zikov, and Lindholm.
So you put Party Nachos on the fourth?
You give Party Nachos another year to cook.
Eh, you don't want to overcook nachos because then the cheese just gets tough.
Yeah, but I mean, could he not benefit from a year down in the AHL on the bigger ice or on the smaller ice, learning the game a little bit, letting him grow a little bit? Again, I would love for him to jump in and immediately be our first line center, but that position is going to be held down by John Tavares for the next 7 years.
Okay. Okay.
12.5 million, 7 year contract. Go get him, Tommy D.
So, I mean, when we signed Tavares, you mentioned Jeff Skinner doesn't have the big house in North Raleigh, but John Tavares is going to need to buy a house.
John Tavares can have whatever house he wants. Okay. John Tavares could go to our new sponsor, Dawn, over at Fathom Realty, and she would absolutely sell him a house.
I think so.
Yeah, I think she would. I don't even know what to do with myself. Like, there's all of this free agency stuff out there, and then there's what happens on the defensive side. There's not a lot of defensive free agents. So if I look at where the Hurricanes have value, it's potential in the fact if we can move a defensive prospect or one of our defensemen who have been here for a while. So whether that be a guy like Justin Falk, I do not want to move Noah Hannafin, but I've heard his name a couple of times.
No, we're not moving trade Noah Hannafin. He's the best defenseman on this team right now.
But if we look at that, and then, you know, the defensive kind of pipeline that we have forthcoming, you look at the free agent defenseman out there. I went to the Hockey News' top 30 free agent defensemen. The number one ranked free agent defenseman this year, Derek, by the Hockey News is
Mike Green.
Mike Green is correct.
Yeah, I'm glad they rolled out the 2008 top 30.
No, this is the 2018. There is literally no free agent defenseman out there.
You started tossing out a name that I'm not going to spoil, but I was like, the hell, Mike? Why do you care about this guy?
Because Calvin DeHaan of the New York Islanders was the second-ranked free agent defenseman on the market. If Calvin DeHaan is the second-best defenseman you can go by, Justin Falk should be able to command a king's ransom.
And by the way, that name, it's Dutch for Calvin of Haan. It's a little nugget for you, Mike.
Thank you, sir. I would trade, again, and that's the thing. Like, I want to trade Justin Falk for another forward asset, but then what do I do with the forwards? Because literally, where do we want to, what's the trade we all want to make? Go ahead and say it, Derek.
What's the trade we all want to make?
For Justin Falk. There's a player who may play, you know, in a very cold part of Canada that we covet.
If you're going to say pool party.
That is correct.
No. I'm not saying I don't want pool party.
I want a pool party.
Right, but what else is Edmonton adding? Because pool party's value ain't Falk's value.
No, absolutely not. But we're getting it's Falk in a first. It's Falk for pool party in a first.
I wish you luck in that endeavor.
Why not? Edmonton is stupid, and they need a defenseman.
Chiarelli's still there.
They need a defenseman.
My God, that's true.
How many contracts do they have?
If they gave up Taylor Hall for Adam Larson, hey, pool. Look. Just, why don't they just Don Waddell? If you're listening to the podcast,
which he does,
right. You've been on. I assume you listen. Point out to Chiarelli what Adam Larson's numbers were and what Taylor Hall's numbers were, and say, hey, look, Justin Falk compared to Adam Larson, my God, the dramatic improvement. He's such a better player. Surely he can fetch us a Draisaitl.
Actually, you know the conversation,
and you have it. You start off with like, look. I'm not going to be ridiculous and ask for McDavid because we all know that's off the table, right?
Right.
But let's talk Leon.
Shh, don't tease me, Derek.
Let's talk Leon.
Don't tease me with Derek German Gretzky.
Yeah.
Let me just. I'm going to play this forward a little bit. I didn't know this was going to go there.
Okay.
Justin Faulk's most productive year of the last 5 years. Who is his defensive partner?
Ron Hainsey?
Nope.
Mick Fleetwood?
Close.
John Michael Lyles?
Close. Think about somebody who maybe plays for the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, Peter Cetera.
Yes, Peter Cetera. Andrej Sekera. Peter Cetera, whatever his name is this week. If you can roll out Andrej Sekera and Justin Faulk.
By the way, he's got to finish his career in Chicago, right? If he's going to be Peter Cetera.
Yes. Adam Larson is completely capable, but those guys had a good bit of magic together and played. So, I mean, that was Justin Faulk's best power play year as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put Sekera.
We're getting the band back together.
Derek, could that really happen? I'm just thinking about that. Could we? I mean, there's no way they're letting Draisaitl
in Edmonton. Sounds like a terrible idea.
For them.
Oh, for them, absolutely.
But for us.
High comedy.
But for us, it would be so good.
And it's been the convenient trading partner because Edmonton has a glut of forwards that are coming up, you know, out of their ELCs or RFA years that they need to get off the books. And we have allegedly a glut of quality defensemen.
Well, and, you know, I think their offer is ultimately going to be the Nuge, and I just don't know if we need a 142-pound gangly-armed center at the
top
of
our lineup.
We don't
need more cinnamon is what you're telling me.
Next up on stage, Ryan Nugent. Cinnamon! Sorry, everybody. This has gone bad places. You know, there's only one way to get out of this, and let's punt and go to tonight's guest. Derek, for a while, we've been trying to get something together. We've been trying to get Cheaters Never Canes cast together. We've been trying to get Mike Maniscalco, me, you, and this guy in a room to do a podcast together. It hasn't worked yet, but I have hope. And as he scoffingly kind of laughs, I know he is so against that idea. But ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to welcome the WebZone czar of all things internet, and I believe vice president of operations at Cambridge Analytica, Michael Smith of the Carolina Hurricanes. You all know him. You love him. He stands on boxes next to Mike Maniscalco, and he delivers all the web content that's worth delivering. Mr. Smith, happy offseason, sir. Anything interesting going on?
No, it's actually pretty normal around the office. I don't think anything has really happened. I mean, I was away for a week, so I don't think I missed anything, though.
I don't think I missed much either, Mike. I took a couple of days off, and I had like one message on my phone, but I think things are finally starting to settle down here in Raleigh. Next big thing, I'm assuming for you guys, is the run-up to the draft. So before we get into all of the stuff that did or didn't happen while you and I were out of town, what was your personal reaction to the draft lottery when you realized the Canes were going to get a top three pick?
It kind of happened in stages. Because I was actually out at Brugaloo that day, fine, downtown Raleigh event. So I had pre-prepared some stuff, in advance of, the Hurricanes receiving, the 11th pick or the 12th pick, like happened last year, fell back a spot. I hadn't really planned on 1, 2, or 3, you know, I knew it was happening in two rounds really. So I knew I'd have time to prepare for, if a lottery win should happen, and lo and behold, it certainly did. And that for me, it was incredibly exciting. One, not to see the Hurricanes logo come up at, you know, 13 or 12. And then when it didn't come up at 11, that's when the excitement really starts to ramp up, on our end and on the fans' end too. And then being able to see, the logo come up at 2 was awesome. Like, you know, for the Hurricanes to have that sort of luck and to have the lottery balls go their way was extremely exciting, and I think it sets the team up for what should be a fun weekend in Dallas.
We're going to be there in Dallas. We're going to have a lot of fun, yes, that weekend regardless. But, you know, so in previous years when we drafted 12 or 7 or wherever the hell the Canes drafted that wasn't in the top three, you guys have done a good job profiling guys that we may select. And it's usually, mm-hmm, been like five or six guys because you don't know how the draft is going to go ahead of you. This year, pretty obvious who Buffalo is going to take at one. How many draft profiles do you have loaded? And the right answer is one.
One, probably no more than three.
Okay.
So between one and three, I think, is a fair bet. Because, yeah, because like you said, I mean, it's pretty obvious that Rasmus Dahlin, I think, is going to go one to Buffalo. Unless they pull a Colorado and come out and tell everyone they're not going to take him. They're going to take the top forward available, and then things change a lot. But I don't think that's going to happen because I do think when you compare like Rasmus Dahlin to Seth Jones and that sort of thing, that Dahlin is regarded as a very, very talented defenseman. And I think he's going to go one. That's not going to surprise anybody. I don't think, you know, if you read all the mock drafts, I don't think number two is going to surprise anybody either. But we're going to do our homework and make sure we have at least a few guys covered just in case.
I think that's probably safe. His name is Andre, not Evgeny, just so that way you're aware.
you cannot draft a current Red Wing.
Yeah, exactly. So
right, it's against the rules.
And we're all for breaking the rules. Speaking of breaking the rules, traditional Canadian hockey media, not a big fan of maybe some of the, you know, let's go hashtag hockey culture rules that the Carolina Hurricanes have broken this offseason. You're supposed to go pay $4 million for a GM who's had this before and done this before, you know, particularly if you're a brand new owner for a hockey franchise. And by all accounts, Tom Dundon has formed Hockey GM Voltron. You know, we've taken the best of multiple pieces, put them together in kind of a think tank between Rick Dudley, Don Waddell, Kropelka, yeah, a guy you and I may know, Eric Tulsky, and all sorts of people, you know, including guys like Rod Brendamore, who is now the new head coach. What has been kind of the internal conversations inside 1400's Edwards Mill Road as all of these changes have happened from what was previously Fort Knox Francis to no information getting out to now there are multiple members of the front office forming a brain trust and all of the members of the brain trust are now engaging the media?
Yeah, well, and they're all well connected too in the hockey world. I mean, a guy like Don Waddell who's been around the game for years and years, and the same for Rick Dudley. I mean, the guy's been everywhere, done everything. So they're all well connected, and they're all, I think, vocal in their own way. But I think, you know, from what I've seen, it's an extremely collaborative effort. And that's not to say it wasn't collaborative under Ron Francis, but I think it was more maybe based in that inner circle. Whereas here, you've got an owner who's coming in and taking a look at really all facets of the business, both on the hockey side and the business side, and trying new things. You know, whether that's on the business side, moving everyone down from the third level to the first level, or on the hockey side, approaching the GM position with a bit more of a collaborative effort where you've got, you know, analytics guys and hockey guys who have been around the game for a while, kind of both having an equal seat at the table and discussing and trying to find solutions. So he's trying new things, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Obviously, you have Don Waddell as the lead hockey decision maker, but I think his decisions are heavily influenced by the guys that he's surrounded himself with. Rick Dudley, like I said, extremely well connected throughout the league. And I think a lot of people may not realize that his hands are on, are all over some of the moves that the then Atlanta Thrashers made. And now you're seeing them reap their rewards as the Winnipeg Jets, Blake Wheeler, Dustin Byfuglien. Those were moves that Rick Dudley had a hand in. And then Paul Kropelka, who knows that player side of the game, that agent, team, working together to try to figure out contract stuff. So I think it's a smart group. It's a different group. It's obviously retooled and revamped from what we knew 6 months ago. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Bottom line is Tom Dundon is not afraid to try new things. And I think that does scare some people, as you mentioned, some media folks. But I think ultimately what you've seen so far, the results have actually not been so bad. I mean, you've got a front office who I think is going to be very intelligent, very smart in their decision making. And you've got a head coach, as you mentioned, Rod Brindamore, who I think is a great choice for a head coach, somebody who's going to motivate this team to get where it needs to get. So I like everything that's happened so far, even if the process to get there has encountered a few speed bumps here and there.
We're very excited. One of the things in particular, we talked about it earlier about the draft and look at the player perspective, but I want to look at what else is around draft weekend, because for those who haven't gone, the draft weekend is a time to eat, drink, and talk hockey or non-hockey things with all your favorite hockey people. You guys, you get to travel around the league and experience some of the finest that each city has to offer. So, Mike, this question came in from Dan McLaughlin at Kaniac176. Do you have any recommendations for Canes fans who are heading down to Dallas to take in during the draft, whether it's food, drink, or other?
Yeah, there is. This might sound kind of sacrilege because we are in North Carolina, of course. There is a good Texas barbecue place, and I now realize this in recommending it. I don't remember what it's called. It's near, it's somewhere near downtown, and they you go up to the counter, you order it, and they slice your meat and give it to you right on a sheet of paper, and you go from there. So that place is legit. The other place that I do know the name of that's really nice and I recommend checking out, a place called Katy Trail Ice House. There's a running trail that runs through the city called Katy Trail, and this place is situated just right off of it. It's a restaurant. It's a bar. It's right off the running trail. They serve tasty bites and tasty beverages in really big cold mugs. Mm. It's a great scene. And for, you know, a late June evening in Dallas when it's probably going to be pretty warm outside,
yeah,
I don't think you're going to be able to beat that scene.
Any chance that barbecue place is called the Pecan Lodge?
I don't think so.
Okay, I've heard good things of that place as well, but haven't been.
The Pecan Lodge and Hard Eight. Hard Eight's the one I've been to in Dallas and enjoyed many of the meat sweats.
I'm going to save all the jokes.
Yeah, there are. I mean, there are definitely good barbecue places throughout. It's a different kind of barbecue, of course, but if you're in the area, you might as well check it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Smitty, we've got a few questions. Again, Derek started off with Dan's questions, a few questions that the listeners sent in, and some things that may not necessarily be hockey-related, but I'm sure you've had your fill of all of the crazy hockey-related things. So I'm going to get you this. This one comes from at Harry and Cranky, also known as Angst Machine, over on Quick. Over on the Twitters, what brand and flavor of jerky do you like?
Oh, I'm actually not a jerky person.
Yeah, some people would argue that, but we'll let it stand. Derek, do you have one for him?
I got another one from Dawson_Webb. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Cookies and cream. I will say this too. I've got a good recipe for a homemade Sherwin ice cream. Very delicious.
That does sound delightful. This one from at Kane's Net Front, or as we like to call them, Kaniac Tiger Beat. Who is Mike Smith's all-time favorite non-hockey athlete?
Whoa. That's a great question. I'm probably going to end up saying someone with the Carolina Panthers, just because that's probably the team I follow most closely outside of hockey. A guy like Steve Smith is hard to beat, right? Like, not the biggest guy, but a fierce competitor and a mouth to back it up too.
This one I have, this might be my last question here from Emil Ulbrand. New hashtag for next year?
Discussions are being had right now, but I think Revolution.
Come on, let it out. Give us the mic.
I think Revolution has maybe run its course as a hashtag and as a campaign, and that's kind of bittersweet because we sat down as a group and sort of hammered it out a few years ago. I think it was 3 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think we hadn't had a real campaign that had really caught on in the community with players, with national media even, all using the hashtag and all joining in on the discussion. We really hadn't had that before. and to find something like Revolution that was able to stick around for a few years and find that footing was really nice. But I think you might be seeing something new.
If I may make a recommendation, hashtag do hockey, as in those Ooh. Nights when it's just, you know, it's either going really well or not going so well at all. You just say, come on, do hockey.
And just pictures of Eli Manning everywhere.
Yeah, just do hockey.
It's simple and straightforward. So.
Yeah, right? It communicates the message.
It does. I've got a couple more here for you, Mike.
Sure.
This one from I want to make sure I'm pronouncing this right. This is at Mike Maniscalco. I believe this is it.
Never heard of him.
Best answer Bill Peters gave to you post game on the road after a loss, verbal or nonverbal?
It was. Well, yeah, that's a good one.
Isn't it?
There were times where he would just look at me. So that's probably what Mike Maniscalco was looking for there.
Go ahead. Okay, I have plenty.
Yeah, this one is from M. Foreman 5. Not sure if you know him.
Also never heard of him.
He said, this is a very – your answer is incredibly important on this question. So I want to make sure I say it correctly. Who is your favorite boss?
Oh, wow. That's also a very good question. well, probably not the one that made me sit in a duke chair. That probably took a few points off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think
I told him, M. Bison, great answer.
This one comes from, I hope I'm pronouncing this one right. This is Mike _ Maniscalco. Do you think it's okay to wear shorts in an interview when you're interviewing a professional hockey coach?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I vote yes on that 1,000 times.
Okay, and last one here, Mike, and we'll let you go. This one by one of the friends of the podcast. I don't think we'd be doing anybody any favors if we didn't drop you something you're not allowed to do on Kane's Cast, and that's an F, Mary, Kill. So this F, Mary, Kill comes in from Ashley McLaughlin. She is by Quick over on the Twitters. We'll let you figure out how many A's that is. F, Mary, Kill. Every 328 tailgate having weather like the season closing tailgate for the rest of eternity. Adam Lee Decker singing the national anthem at every home game for the rest of time. Bill Peters returning as head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, a la Paul Maurice.
Oh,
and she also says, I'm okay. Sorry. F, Mary,
refresh
Kill.
My memory. Refresh my memory real quick on the season-ending tailgate.
It rained its ass off all day.
And it was 43, 44 degrees. It was muddy. It was cold. It was miserable.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I figured. I just needed to make sure before we proceeded. Well, I think I might have to kill that because that's no good. Like, you want the tailgate, right? But you don't want to have to deal with that forever and ever. Amen.
Okay.
So I think I'm killing that.
You may have caught yourself in a pickle here with this one, Mike.
No, I think I'm good because I know you guys might not be the biggest fans of his anthems, but I do appreciate how the crowd responds, especially when there's a big crowd in the building. So I'm going to marry the Adam Lee Decker's anthem, and which leaves Bill Peters returning as a one night thing.
Yeah. Oh, so he's just not effing him. It's a one night stand. He's going full Gerard Gallant. Come in, coach at night, and there's a cab waiting for you outside. Here's a $10 Uber gift card, man.
Hey,
enjoy.
That phone number you gave me didn't work.
Promo code Revolution.
I love it. So, Mike, what should Caniacs be looking forward to over the next couple of months over at CarolinaHurricanes.com? And what special things do you have coming up for everybody as we lead up to the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is the lead up to the draft and the content we'll be pushing out there. I mean, we'll be looking at, like I said, probably just a handful of potential picks. We'll be looking at historical number two picks, how the Hurricanes ended up winning the lottery, what the mock drafts are saying, which I don't believe there's going to be too much variation. So we'll have all that stuff. We'll have more information about the draft party will be released in the coming weeks. I think fans are really going to enjoy that. It's at the Raleigh Beer Garden this year. It's a little bit of a different venue, but I think it's going to be a great time for everybody, families included. Like, it's there's a separate event space for it and everything, so it's going to be a real good time there in downtown Raleigh. And, you know, every week with Canescast and Tweetmail. And I know you mentioned a Canescast Cheaters Never Win crossover. I think we might have to make that happen at some point this summer. Like, it's a long off season. So maybe we, you know, compare calendars and make something happen.
Hey, we are here for you, sir.
It's a long off season, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last.
Yes. I see what you did there.
Thank you. Which was nice. He is at M Smith Canes over on the Twitters. You can send him an email. I believe he is msmith@carolinahurricanes.com. He asked for your cheat mail or your tweet mail questions. I don't know where we ever got cheat mail from. I don't know who we could have ever, you know, stolen that from.
It was brilliant though.
Yeah, it was branded. But Mike, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your evening here to join us on Cheaters Never Win. And we look forward to seeing you in Dallas.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It'll be a fun weekend.
Absolutely. Mike Smith, scholar, gentleman, owner of the interwebs. Actually, no, wait, works for the interwebs?
I don't know, but he's also a Carolina grad.
Yeah. So does he even lift, bro?
I don't know.
I don't know.
And I'm sure some fine people who listen to this podcast graduated from Carolina. So sorry if I offended you. At least you didn't go to Michigan.
Woof. shout out to Michelle McMahon. Let's go get Derek. Off-season podcast, we've said, oh, they're just going to keep them to 30, 45 minutes. Yeah, that's not happening. We're already 50 minutes deep. Thank you for listening. Sorry for all of our rambling, but, you know, it's the off-season, and we're friends, and we need reasons to talk to each other. But we also need reasons to go to those cheat mail. Cheat mail. Gotta go get that cheat mail. Quick, Derek, fast. Let's go. Oh, rapid
good.
Fire.
Oh, good God.
We already asked some of Smitty.
Yeah. Oh, here you go, Mike. This is from CLT Caniac. If you're Don Waddell and you're indeed shopping for a goaltender, who's the guy you're trying to go get?
Braden Holtby. We can't get him, but he's the guy I try for.
Okay.
How about you?
Sounds good to me. Like, honestly, that's a big name who, you know, if not him, Grubauer?
Okay. Let's see here. Let's find a good one here. Derek, this one comes from our friend, the Caniac Chef. His cheat meal question is, it's my deep fear that GM Voltron will keep the second overall pick only to screw it up and not take Svechnikov. Is it something I should legitimately worry about? Because I'm legitimately worrying about it.
I wouldn't worry too much. I mean, I'm not saying completely ignore it, because the Canes could go full Canes and do what you don't want them to do early in the draft. See the reaction of me and Mike at the 2014 draft in Philly, when we all wanted that giant Easter Island headed Nick Ritchie, and instead we took Hayden Fleury, and we were like, huh?
Huh?
But that may end up working out. So I wouldn't be too worried. I think they'll do the right thing. I hope they'll do the right thing, and I'm not trying to worry about it too much, but I might be really worried in those few minutes, especially after Buffalo picks one, and I'm just like, I'm there in the building going, don't you screw this up. Don't you do it.
So, Derek, I'm going to throw this out there.
Mm-hmm.
What if Buffalo takes Svechnikov?
Then we get Rasmus Dahlin.
I think you trade the pick. I think you trade the pick. You go down like one or two to potentially get Filip Zadina. And, again, could the Buffalo Sabres go full Cleveland Browns and screw up the first overall pick infinitely badly? Aren't the Buffalo Sabres the Cleveland Browns of the National Hockey League, sort of?
Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This could happen. They could be going, Dahlin, Dahlin, Dahlin. I mean, that's what they need. They need another defenseman.
Yeah, they do.
And then sure enough, they'd be like, yep, let's take the next.
Oh, debut Mike for planting that seed in my head.
How much would that hurt?
How much more would I hate Buffalo? I'd find a new way.
Derek, how do I live with I want to refresh you with this. Mm-hmm. This one came in from at Nixon Robocop. Uh-huh. Nixon _ Robocop, respect the _, one of respect. Our favorite Twitter followers. He wanted to know, and he has a picture of Jeff Skinner here in his tweet, and it says, Derek, How do I live without you? I want to know. How do I breathe without you? If you ever go.
I believe you put the bunny back in the box.
How do I ever survive?
Oh,
that was awful.
That was. Can I just go ahead and ask the next question?
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
I just wanted a reason to drop that out there.
I know. I appreciate that. So this You're is welcome. From our buddy Playoff Beard 80. You may have heard of him.
Heard him.
F. Mary Kill.
Oof.
And each one is a two-parter here.
Ooh, okay.
Or two or three-parter. The first one is Ward re-signed, Darling traded, Nedeljkovic as Ward's backup.
Okay. Well, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
That's one option. So Cam comes back, Darling is traded, and Ned is Ward's number two.
Okay.
That's option one.
All right.
Option two, Cam Ward retires, Nedeljkovic is Darling's number two.
Okay.
Option three is nothing changes, Ward is Darling's. Well, in this case, Ward as a sidekick, he'd be the Burt Ward, so he would absolutely be the Robin.
Wow. So it's a dense one. Nothing changes, Ward and Ned, Darling and Ned are basically my three options.
Yeah, pretty much.
I am going to kill... I'm killing Ward and Darling because as potentially as good as that could be, it also has the potential to be the nightmare that last year was, and I do not want to live last year's nightmare again.
That's the correct answer.
I am going to F Ward and Nedeljkovic because while that's not necessarily what I want long term, it may be good enough for a few weeks until we can get somebody at the trade deadline. And I guess that means I am marrying Darling and Ned, which makes me feel dirty. It feels like I've married way down. And
all I don't of know that is the right answer.
Yeah. You've met my wife. I don't marry down.
True.
So Derek, let's, an interesting question came in, I believe, from, you may have heard of her. She is at Love and Hydrogen. She is our very own lovable and soon-to-be draft correspondent,
Meg. Yeah.
What's your favorite line combo suggestion that someone has ever tweeted at you?
Jesus.
I mean, we've seen a lot of them, most of them from, you know, Dab Rams.
I don't know.
So I will give this.
You've got to have one in mind, otherwise you wouldn't ask me this question.
So there was a follow up to it, and it came from one of the best followers in the Canes Twitterverse, the Canes Ombudsman.
Easy for you to say.
Exactly. His favorite line of the Skinner, American Pharaoh, and Lindholm. That's the first line of a conference finalist right there.
Yep.
That's it.
Done.
I mean, you can't beat that, right?
No, we can't.
I mean, that's just beautiful. Derek, we could take tweet mail and cheat mail questions all night long,
mm-hmm.
but we are actually going to start to save up some of these because we are going to do an all cheat mail edition of Cheaters Never Win, where it is just answering your cheat mail questions for an entire 60-minute episode with the entire...
It may not be an entire 60 minutes.
You guys.
We'll see. It'll be a good episode.
Well, I'll tell you this, that it will be recorded at the draft, so you will have the full Section 328 crew, minus myself, there, so that I'm sure there will be lots of questions around draft picks and second rounds and third rounds and trades that will happen that day. So the cheat mail questions will flow, so we're going to save some of what you guys have sent in, but keep sending in your cheat mail questions because we do have an all cheat mail edition of Cheaters Never Win coming to you at the draft from Dallas. Also, things we have coming at you from Dallas, beer.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to talk about that or do you want to talk about the way that beer plays into Dallas?
You do whatever you want.
Because also in Dallas
is a grown man.
Is the drunk Cheaters Never Win podcast.
Ooh, yes.
Part two.
For those of you who may be Patreon subscribers, you may have remembered last year.
Than we did.
Yeah. When we recorded the first ever edition. And basically, it's not that we, you know, want to encourage people to heavily drink and then stand behind a microphone. But our two... Yeah, we'll call them mentors slash inspirations for this entire show. Jeff Merrick and Greg Wyshynski, aka formerly of the Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast, are quite famous for having done the Drunk podcast years and years ago. We finally delivered upon a multi-year promise to eventually deliver it. Did it. Some of you loved it. Some of you didn't get a chance to listen to it because it was a Patreon exclusive and still is. If you are a new patron and you haven't listened to it, you can go back into Patreon, go check out the Patreon exclusive Drunk podcast where Oliver, aka Canalytics, suggests kidnapping former Hurricanes owners' children.
So there's that.
Maybe.
So
maybe.
Yeah, we'll be down in Dallas, thanks in large part to support of our patrons. And as a return and a way to say thank you to our patrons, we are giving all our patrons Drunk podcast version 2 and the all cheat mail episode of Cheaters Never Win. Will both be Patreon exclusives. So if you want to get in on those pieces of content, head over to section328.com, click the Patreon button. You can get all the details there. So highly recommend that. And we appreciate all your support.
We also appreciate the support of Bottle Mix,
damn right
one of the two, count them, two sponsors that have renewed for the 2018-2019 season of Cheaters Never Win.
Absolutely. So, Bottle Mix, Mike, you may know that they are on Creedmoor Road.
They are on Creedmoor Road.
You may know that they are south of Strickland and south of 540, north of Crabtree, north of Millbrook, north of Lynn Road, even north of Stonehenge Shopping Center. They're back at Brennan Station.
I was going to say, they're still in Brennan Station.
Still, they haven't moved.
No, still there.
Same convenient location.
Same place that Justin Falk recorded his very last ever Moe's commercial.
Yeah, that same shopping center.
Yeah,
exactly. There you go. So I went into Bottle Mix yesterday. I talked to Dustin, and he had set a few things aside for me. One of which is a collaboration between Noose River Brewing, which is at Five Points, and a gentleman that you all may know as Petey Pablo.
Petey Pablo!
Yes, that is a gentleman. This is called Petey's Pale Ale, and I'll read you the description. Petey and Noose River Brewing Petey and Noose River Brewing want you to raise up your can and celebrate the day, dance to the music that moves you, and be kind to everyone around you. This is a bold statement. We developed this beer to be the ideal beverage to drink everywhere and anytime. It's light-bodied, full of flavor, and with a hint of tropical fruit, perfect for spring flings, summer barbecues, fall tailgates, or winter days dreaming of the sun, blah, 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 blah. It's an American pale ale brewed with guava. So, lofty expectations of this beer that it's perfect every time, all year round, no matter what the hell you're doing. So, there's a lot to be said there. The one thing on this label, though, that I disagree with wholeheartedly is it says a hint of tropical fruit. When it says this beer is an American pale ale brewed with guava, it is all of the guava. And I don't necessarily mean that in a bad way, but you pour this beer into a glass as one should. It's clear. It's not like a lot of the New England IPAs that I've been drinking lately that are hazy and delicious and wonderful. This is clear. It's crisp. But on the nose, it is just a burst of ripe, rich, tropical fruit. And it's like, holy hell. That's guava. You could get the folks at Yankee Candle to put guava in a candle, and it might not smell as guava-y as this one does. All that taste is there in the palate. There's a little bit of hops with it, but it's a lot of refreshing tropical fruit. I don't know that I'd want this beer for a whatever kind of winter occasion they said. Winter days dreaming of the sun? Probably not. Poolside? Give me this beer.
Yeah, I actually took a sip of that beer, Derek, and I was like, you know, long day, mowed a little grass, worked in the yard a little bit, sitting down to eat, you know, some chicken off the grill. That right there, that beer would pair amazingly well. Kind of sitting on the back deck, hanging out with some of the friends. Yeah, I mean.
So it's a tasty local brew made in Raleigh with a rapper who lives in the area, who you knew from his hits from way back when.
From Drumline.
Huh?
Drumline?
I don't know, maybe.
You've never, no, trust me, he's in Drumline.
Okay, cool.
It's one of those movies that every time it comes on, I was like, yep, there goes 45 minutes of my life because I can't turn it off. I enjoy it.
So it was a 16-ounce can. It's under 6% alcohol, and I think it was under $3 for the can of beer. Perfectly enjoyable beer. The hotter it gets, the better this beer will taste, in my opinion. So go see Dustin, go see Bruce, go see all the folks up at Bottle Mix. Tell them that 328 sent you, and you want some of Petey's Pale Ale or that you want to get a bottle of Cristal or whatever kind of wine you want, or, you know, pick up a bottle of Prairie Bomb because you'd like to drink, you know, stupid high alcohol imperial stouts on a 90 degree day. It doesn't matter. Tell them what you're after. They'll take great care of you, and go get some good beer, get some good wine.
Yeah,
and they have lots of all of them.
Yeah, they got lots of everything. And again, it's that time of year where there's a lot of shandies that are coming out. There's a lot of I think bottle condition kind of sour and funky Brett stuff that's coming out. So lots of good stuff coming out this time of year. So be sure to go by and see those guys on the regular. They will keep you beered up in your beer refrigerator, very respectable, without having to have the mountains in it. So I am Derek, I think we just have one last thing we have to do.
What's that?
We've got a new sponsor.
Damn right.
I mean, we kind of, and again,
we've mentioned it a couple times.
We've mentioned it a couple of times, but we'd like to welcome Don Meyer with Fathom Real Estate to the Section 328 family. Don Loyal Caniac, Section 333 season ticket holder. And longtime friend of the podcast. We reached an agreement this week that Don is going to be the exclusive realtor to Section 328. We're not selling the worldwide headquarters anytime soon, but if you need a property, you need to go buy something, you're selling something, you're flipping a house, you just need some real estate advice, check her out. We'd like to pump her up a whole bunch, but she dropped by the studio a little bit earlier, so we're going to let Don show you out of the podcast tonight. So until then, guys, we'll talk to you in a week or so. Hockey with Hannah is going to be here next week to talk prospects. We're right at a month away from the draft. All sorts of amazing things coming up. So stick around. Who knows? By then, Derek and I may be part of GM Voltron.
We'll see. One last thing, Mike.
You got something. Jump in.
This Saturday, depending on when you listen to the podcast.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
May 19th. Section 328 is giving back to the community that has been so good to us, and we are working with the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. We are, you know, spending some time in person volunteering at the food bank in Durham. We still have some spots available. Go over to section328.com. It is the second blog post there. You'll see the picture of the food bank's logo. See if you can still register, if you can volunteer in person from 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday, May 19th. If you are not able to volunteer and you want to donate some money directly to the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, we have a link there for you to do that. $1 donation gets $10 worth of food for very, very needy people in this area. So if you have the time to donate as a volunteer, that's fantastic. If you do not have the time and or wish to also put your money behind it and help out the local community, that is most appreciated as well.
Yeah, thank you. And to all of those who have already supported us, and Derek, thank you for reminding me of that. Thank you. We had set up an initial goal to try to raise $500 for the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina and have blown that out of the water today. So we are officially on this podcast doubling our goal. We're going to try to raise $1,000 for the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, and hopefully there will be about 20 of us out there on Saturday donating our time for about 3 hours. And you know, we also eventually here, once the Stanley Cup Finals are set, we're going to do a Stanley Cup Finals watch party to kind of bring this whole thing together. So this was going to be a 30-minute podcast, Eric. We're like 65 minutes
yeah,
in, and we still
yeah,
have
we never do that.
Yeah, we still have Don's spot to get to. So we'll guys, say thank you to Don. Thank you guys for listening all the way through. Thank you for reminding me about all of the stuff with the food bank, Derek. And I look forward to seeing a bunch of you folks out there on Saturday. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Until then, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We're out of here.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.